Christmas season is one of those great times that we're able to be together and enjoy special celebration and the presence of Almighty God. It's a busy time, a time when people are getting out into the stores and doing various special things. I heard about a lady who she wanted to get her Christmas shopping done, get it all wrapped up and get that out of the way so she could just sort of sit back and enjoy life as it rolled along. And she went out and got her presents and wrapped them up and finally got the last one wrapped, and she said, "There, that's that." And then a terrible thought struck her. She said, "I haven't sent any Christmas cards." So she got out a Christmas list of cards, and she tore out to the store, and she saw a pretty one, and there was a whole bunch of them, and she took a whole handful of them that were all the same, brought them home, addressed the envelopes and stamped them and signed them and then posted them. And there she said, "There, I'm done." And there happened to be one of the cards left over sitting on the table. And she picked it up and looked at it to see what it said. Should have done it a little sooner, but it said, "This Christmas card is sent to say a little gift is on its way." Be sure to read your Christmas card before you send it. Well, so much for the introduction. I want to talk to you tonight about good news from heaven. And I'm going to read a few verses here in the second chapter of Luke that you know very well. And I'll just be referring to a few of these things. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," or to men of goodwill, which is probably a little more accurate. Good news from heaven. People are interested in looking out into the heavens. We like to see the stars. We like to see the moon as it traces its path across the sky. We may be able to pick out a few of the planets once in a while. It's an interesting thing. The scientists have got the Hubble spacecraft going on with the telescope, going around and being out of the distortion of the atmosphere of this world, they're able to get a clear picture of what's out there. And then there are great dishes that are pointed skyward and are hoping that they will hear a message from space. 2,000 years ago, there was a message that came from space And the angels came from God to tell these poor shepherds on the hillsides of Judea that a Savior was born. And they gave them the sign and hoped that they would go and see the Christ child that had come from God Himself. I'm going to take just three components of that story that you know so very well. And as we endeavor to look at these, recall to our mind the goodness of God and the wonder of God presenting this greatest gift of all to us. The first one is fear not. Fear not. That was the first thing that the angel said as he appeared to the shepherds. Fear not. You know, fear is a dreadful plague on the earth. Back on September the 11th, we had that terrible, terrible thing that happened in New York that spread fear through all of the city of New York and through all of North America. Indeed, it has permeated into pretty nearly every part of this whole world in which we live. Fear. This fear grips at the souls and minds of people in these days in which we live. I am sure that we are glad that we do not worship a God who says, if you want instant paradise, you go out and hijack a plane full of people and run it into a building and send thousands of people to their death. And we will welcome you to our paradise with open arms if you do such a thing as that. There are some people who have this as their greatest ambition. I heard just the other night of a young lad who said, in four more years, I'll be able to go out and give my life in doing something desperate that will please Allah. And he has that in his mind to think about. Now, that's not the Christmas message. The Christmas message is fear not. Fear not. You remember when Zechariah went into the temple to perform his obligation as a priest. And the angel Gabriel came to him. The very first words Gabriel said to him were, fear not, fear not. And then Gabriel went to Mary and told her that she was to be the mother of the Christ child. To her, fear not. And to Joseph in a dream, fear not, Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. And then on the hillsides of Judea, fear not to the shepherds, don't be afraid. Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Christ. That's part of the good news that we have coming to us from heaven. I remember during the days of the Second World War, Franklin Roosevelt, in his speech as he was announcing that the United States were going to get into the war, he said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. You see, if you trust, you are not afraid. And if you are afraid, you do not trust. And God wants us to trust Him, to believe, and to understand that He will hold us and keep us in His gracious hand. Some years ago, when I was involved in the foreign mission work, I had been traveling over in Asia. I was in India for a couple of weeks at that time, and then I flew to Hong Kong, and I was going to go on to Japan, where some of our missionaries were. I was going to stay for a couple of days in Hong Kong, and I picked up the newspaper when I got up into my room, and I noticed that the headline said, "Three planes crashed landing in the Tokyo airport." That was the next airport I was going to be. In a space of 48 hours, three planes had crashed in that airport. Well, being a human being and being an ordinary one, I would say, I began to wonder whether it was a good idea to go there. And I had a little bit of a feeling of a fear. I'm going to go there in a couple of days. And I picked up my Bible, and I opened it just at random. And I was at the 34th Psalm. And it said this, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And I bowed my head and I said, "Thank you, Lord. That's exactly what I needed. I'm tired. I'm tired of traveling. And I don't want to go there, but if I have to go there, You have dealt with my fears. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are great with mercy and will burst with blessings on your head." The second thing that is in this message is, "Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And that joy is something that we as individuals need to experience. The joy of the Lord our God. This is the message of heaven. This is the message that the world actually can't give. The world can make you laugh. The world can entertain you. But it only lasts for a little while. I remember hearing about a man who was greatly depressed in spirit. And he got to think that life was hardly worth living. He was down about as low as he could get, and he decided to go to the doctor. And as he explained his position to the doctor said, "Oh, what you need to do is just get out and enjoy yourself a little bit." He said, "Do something. Go to some place where you can be entertained." He said, "Why, there's a circus in town, and there's a clown at that circus, and he is the funniest guy I have ever seen in my life." He said, "You go and hear him." The man didn't blink his eyes. He just looked straight at the doctor. And he said, "Sir, I'm that clown. I can make people laugh. I can entertain people. But I can't burn the fire that's in my soul out of sight. He said, I am depressed. The world cannot bring that joy that the Lord is able to give. God gives us real joy. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You remember the Apostle Paul in his perambulations around the world was thrown into prison in Rome. And among other things, he wrote a letter to the church at Philippi there when he was in Rome in a dungeon. And that letter has been called by many people the Epistle of Joy. Actually, one phrase that we know so well out of that is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He wrote that in a Roman dungeon. And then toward the end of the letter, he said to the Philippians, he said, I have all things and abound. And I suppose that if somebody came from Philippi to visit Paul, having heard that letter, and they would be led down into this terrible dungeon, they would say, Paul, you told us you had all things and abound. Do you call this all things? Do you call this abounding? Some straw in the corner to sleep on? This food that they call food, you have to eat that? This darkness, this dingy, damp place in which you are, is this abounding? And Paul would say, I am not dependent on external things for my joy. In fact, if he had ever known that song we used to sing in Sunday school, if he had ever known it, there is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. That's the problem with the joy or so-called joy of the world. It's dependent upon the external things, the things that are around us. If everything is going well and the sun is shining, then we can experience in the world a certain percentage of joy. But when the clouds creep in, and when the trouble comes, and when we hit that first bump, then the joy goes if we're dependent upon the world. And thank God, when he gives us his joy, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy that is filled with lasting peace and graciousness of Almighty God, the presence of God, is real to us. And that's what these angels were singing about. They were rejoicing in this wonderful experience that the world was going to have, that a Savior was going to come, one who could save them from their sins and bring them up to higher heights of living. You know, I've often wondered about angels. We don't talk much about angels. Even from our pulpits, once in a while we do. Christmas is a good time to talk about angels. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I don't see any angels, but they're there. They're around about us. Are they not ministering spirits which minister unto those that are the heirs of salvation? This is what an angel is all about. They come down here to earth and they help us so many times. We don't realize it. Angels are an active being which we do not see. And I have thought about the angels as they would perhaps have a furlough. They've been down to earth for a while and they go back up to heaven, and they're in the glory and the wonder and the beauty and the peace and the love and the presence of God and all the wonderful things about heaven. They think back down here to earth. And maybe some of the angels say, "What's it like down there?" And they would have to shake their heads and say, "It's not very good, it's bad. There is sickness, there is weakness, there is fighting, there is quarreling, there is division, there is hatred, there is intimidation, there is warfare." And they could list off the things that they see and have to deal with in their sojourn into this world. What a wonderful thing for any who had ever heard that in heaven to be in this group that are now bursting through invisibility and speaking to the hillsides with the shepherds there and talking to them and saying, "What a wonderful thing it is. You're going to have a Savior now. One who can save you from your sins. One who can bring you peace and joy and everlasting life." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is He. And I suppose that the angels would think that everybody would want indeed to become a Christian. And perhaps they're surprised that they look down and see the reluctance of people to get involved in these things. Fear not. Good tidings of great joy. You see, it's not enough just to have fear taken away. We need something to take its place. Tidings of joy. We need joy in our hearts. The last one is glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace. Peace to men of goodwill. We don't have peace on earth. We're at war right now. We've had many wars. There are generally wars going on somewhere in the world, and sometimes colossal wars take place. Peace is something that only the Prince of Peace can bring to us. Over in Bonn in Germany, all this week, they've been sitting around in that big circle trying to figure out how are we going to bring peace to Afghanistan? How are we going to run this country? How are we going to be able to control the various elements that are here? And while they seem to have a positive ring at this time, time will tell whether they will be able really and truly to bring peace to that troubled place. The only one who can really bring peace, real peace, lasting peace, is the Prince of Peace. The first missionary, and I'm finished with this, the first missionary that we set out from Forward Baptist Church. It was actually before my time there. It was John Hall. Some of you may remember him. He went to Nigeria. And when he got to Nigeria, he found out that the missionaries had settled all around the coast. Nobody had gone into the interior. And they said to him, John, where are you going? He said, I'm going into the interior to speak and preach the gospel to those people in there. And they said, John, if you do that, you'll never come out again. There are headhunters in there. There are vicious battles being fought every day. Those people are warlike right to the core. They're raised to fight, and they're going to fight anybody who comes in there, especially a stranger and a white man. He said, I'm going into the interior. And he went. And he tells the story how he went up a rise of ground after he had gotten into the interior. And he stood on the top of this rise of ground, and he looked out over a tremendous plain, a great broad stretch as far as his eyes could see, a plain up there. And one of the bears said, that's where the people are. That's where the fighting's done. That's where the trouble is. And so he went down the side of the inside of the plain and settled in the plain. And he stayed there and gained the respect of the nationals who were there. And they gathered around and listened to what he had to say. He had to learn the language. He had to understand their customs. And he got to know very well just what they needed and how they needed to have it presented to them. And literally hundreds upon hundreds of these people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He baptized many, many people and formed a church and got some of the leading men, even though some of them had been headhunters in the days past. He got them to give leadership. And they had a huge, big congregation of people. And after he had been there for a number of years, he said, I'm going back to Canada just for a little while. I'll be back, but I'm going back to Canada. Tell them to pray. Tell them what's going on. And he did that. And that visit, I was just a young man, 14 years old. I wasn't even a man. I thought I was, but I was just 14. He gave a call for anyone who would give their life in service for the Master. And I responded that night and have had many years in the Lord's service. But after he was home for a number of months, he went back. And he tells the story again, how he came to that same rise of ground. And he stood looking down into the valley. And he heard a sound, not the sound of battle. He heard them singing. He heard them singing the praises of Jesus. And his heart was deeply moved. He went down to be with them, and they had a great communion table set out with the bread and the wine. And they were remembering the Lord's Supper. What a wonderful reunion they had on that occasion. There was peace in the valley. Peace, where there had only been the sound of war, where there had only been viciousness and hatred and strife. The Prince of Peace had come. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Fear not, good tidings of great joy and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. May God give you an absence of fear and an overflowing cup of joy and a great portion of his peace for his glory's sake. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank thee for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We thank thee, O God, that through Christ, our blessed Lord, he preached peace by the blood of the cross. And when he died upon the cross and bore the penalty of our sin there, he was able to make it possible for fear to be dispelled, for joy to come, and for peace to be our portion. Thank God. Praise God. We thank thee, O Lord, for your nearness and your blessing and your joy. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.